Psalm 101, please. Psalm 101, please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A forward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, and they may dwell with me. And he that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, I want to thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. And I thank you again today for what you've done for us here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I want to thank you for all the blessings, Lord, you've bestowed upon us. I want to thank you for your goodness and your kindness to the children of men. And Father, once again tonight, this preacher needs your power, needs your wisdom. And Lord, we do want to be a blessing to this people. And Lord, the way we can do that best of all is simply preach the Word of God to them. So I ask you to help me and empower me and give me power tonight and give me wisdom as I speak. And Lord, we'll then, whenever anything is done that is good, we'll remember, Lord, to praise you for it. And thank you for your goodness and kindness. All honor, we realize, must go to thee. We thank you for allowing us to even be a part of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Once again tonight, we're going to continue on our series on the home. We've spent quite a few weeks now on the home, and hopefully, was my desire, I hope it's been a help to you and a blessing to you. We intended for it to be, and I believe it's a subject that certainly needs to be addressed in the day that we live. I know that moms and dads and children have much to face in this old wicked world, as we preached about the evil world this morning, and we have a lot to face. And so what I wanted to do was be a blessing. We've just preached some messages and to try to help you to be a better mama, better daddy, and a better wife, a better husband, and better children, and all those kinds of things that I feel like that we need so much today. And now this evening, I'm going to preach a message which I entitle The Cleansing of the Home. The cleansing of the home. I think that our homes need some cleansing. Now, maybe you've got yours all cleaned out. Maybe it's all fine. I don't know about that. You'll have to decide that after tonight's message is over with. But I believe there's some cleansing that needs to be done. I first of all just kind of want to start this off this evening by talking about the home for just a few moments. And we know that parents, the importance of parents to establish things in their home for their children and set a standard for how the home is going to be run. I've told you earlier in one of our messages, I can't remember which one, but I told you earlier, basically our children are in a training camp for 18 years learning how to run their home. That's exactly what's taking place. And so that's a training camp. Don't ever say, yo, I'm stepping into marriage, I don't know anything about this. Well, yes, you do. You've witnessed it for 18, 19, 20 years, whatever it is. And what you're going to do is basically what your parents did. I mean, that's how you're going to start out. You may add some good things to that. And you may learn some things and benefit from that. But basically, that's the way you start. I believe that's the way I started out, just doing it the way Mom and Dad did. I believe that's the way my wife started out, just doing the way her mom and dad did. Now, what we've done is we got saved along the way in between there, and we've learned a lot of wonderful things that helped us in our home. And I think that's what it's all about. But basically, we are teaching our children, training our children to run their homes. That's what we're doing. We're setting an example every day of our life and establishing that in their hearts. That's how basically they're going to run their homes one of these days. Now, as I said, we know we can better things and we can learn things and all of those kind of things, but all of the basics of it is going to be from what we learned for the last 18, 19, 20 years, whatever it was, time that you was in a home. Also, I realize when I preach these messages, we talk about the home, I realize, and I'll just make mention of this, that a woman is going to be limited if they do not have a godly husband. There's a lot of things that a woman by herself cannot accomplish, because God has designed for the husband to be the leadership and the headship. And sometimes, especially when a wife does not have a godly husband, maybe she has a husband that's unsaved, things don't always go the way they should. And but what I'm saying is, ladies, I want to encourage you, you still can live by the principles of God's word the very best you can and ask God for his help. And so, but it's going to make a difference in your home because of the unsaved husband. There's so many things sometimes I get welled up in me that I want to say, but I got to be careful. I got to stay on the subject. But I want ladies to remember something also. God uses in every marriage, and we're not preaching on that tonight, but God uses in every marriage each other to do some filing work on us. See, God gave you the husband that you have to help mold you. God gave you the wife that you have to help mold you. Now, that does not make it that you can do wrong and say that's all right, but even when they do wrong, God uses those things to mold us, sometimes to file us where we needed to be filed. That's the way God does things. So don't be discouraged. I mean, I know if you have an unsaved husband, you would want him saved. That's the best proper thing. But God even uses unsaved husbands sometimes to mold the wife. So God does molding, and God is busy about that. You just got to remember, he loves you. And he uses a lot of things in family life to prepare us for the future. Our future life. So tonight we just want to look at this and realize that it is the responsibility of the parents to establish a home where God is honored. That's what I want. That's what I really want from the families of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I want you to establish a home where God is honored in your home. Amen? That's what we want. Now, you'll do all little things a little different than some of these things, but you use the principles of God's Word to establish a home that will honor Him. Amen? Now, first of all, in verse number 1, he said, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. One of the first points I want to say to you before we get into the actual cleansing of the home is that I believe the psalmist David said here, I'm going to sing of praises unto the Lord. I'm going to sing of mercy. I'm going to sing of judgment. I'm going to sing unto the Lord of his goodness. What I got out of that was that I will let nothing in my home, I will let nothing hinder or detract my family from being able to praise God. I just simply believe that in our homes we need to have homes where we can praise the Lord. Now, I have learned down through the years, so when pastor speaks about something and says something, remember something, I also have learned. I've been taught down through the years by my wonderful God about wonderful things of the Scripture. And I don't in any way claim that I certainly was always doing everything right. I haven't always done everything right. But as I've learned them from the Bible, I've tried to apply them. That's what I'm saying. I've tried to apply them. And I think it's a wonderful thing to have in a home. Donna and I do this quite often. We'll sit around and talk about the goodness of God. We just set it now, folks, and it's not always God, you gave us this or you gave us that, because we've had hard times in our life too. We've faced difficult things. But we look back on our life and we simply have to say, God has been so good. He has just been so good. And you just can't get over praising God for what he's done. Yes, you've had some difficult times. I know all of that. But you look back over your whole life and look at how God has provided, yes, for you the things that you need, but also other blessings. If you have a family that is saved, you are blessed. You are blessed of God. And you have a lot to praise God for. Amen? So make your home a place where you talk about and sing of the mercy of God and sing of the praise that God deserves. And it's a wonderful thing to just be able to just sit and talk to each other about how God has just been good to us and name and talk about the things that he has done for us. Amen? So David basically was saying that too. I'm just going to sing of your mercy. I'm just gonna sing to you, God. And she does a lot of singing. It's best that I don't do a whole lot of singing, but I do privately. And God is pleased with it. He probably is the only one he is. But God is pleased with my singing. That's why I like God so much. He loves my singing. And he's pleased with me singing. Amen. No one else is, but he is. But anyway, we talk about the things of God, and I want to encourage you to let your home be a place of praise. I want to be careful because I don't want you to ever think that I think we've done everything right. My wife and I would sit and tell you that we have not done everything right, and we've had to go to God many times and ask him to forgive us for not doing things. I've explained that in our family and all those things. We've asked God to forgive us. But I remember a principle, and I'd just like to point this out to you. My daughter told someone one day, she said, you know, I don't ever remember in my lifetime of ever hearing Mom and Dad argue. Amen. Said, I have never heard that. Now, you say that's because we always agreed. No, it wasn't because we always agreed. And do you know what? My wife and I don't always agree now. Really, we don't always agree about things. That's okay. She's an individual. She's a person. She can be wrong if she wants to. It's okay. No, you understand I'm kidding, because I am. We don't always agree, but listen, we've learned it does no good to argue, and we did not argue in the front of our children. We did not do that. Now, we've had disagreements. We've had times when we've had to sit and talk about things, but we did not argue in front of our children. And one of the reasons is, and we'll get into that after a bit when we talk about the ear gate, there's a lot of things that happen when things go into the ear that makes an effect on an individual, makes effect on children. So I'm just saying to you, those are some things and principles that are good. You say, well, Brother Ross, my wife and I have argued in front of our children. Well, I understand that, and there's a good place, though, to stop it. Get aside and discuss things. If you have disagreements, get aside and discuss those things. And don't do that in front of the children. And argument doesn't do any good anyway. Sit and discuss it and talk about it. There's many things to talk about and discuss. But don't argue in front of your children. Amen? Is that a good principle? That's a good thing to do, you see. That'll help your children, you see, as they grow up. So make it a place where it's a life of a home of praise unto the Lord. Also in verse number 2, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Notice there he's saying basically that I'm going to live a life of purpose. David did not say it's just going to come automatically. David said and made a decision, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. That is not going to just come automatically. That is something you're going to make some decisions about. You're going to have to say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to behave myself perfectly. In other words, I'm going to walk right, and he talks about later, in his home. I'm going to make that determination. I'm going to do that. By the grace of God, I'm going to do that. It does just an all at once fall on you and come to you. You have to work at that. You have to make a determination, as David did, that he was going to walk correctly. You see, you've got to plan some strategy. You've got to make some decisions. You've got to take some steps of action and decide, this is the way I'm going to walk in my house. You need, and I'll say this to both parents, we've already established the fact, and I believe have established that well, that the husband is the head of the home. You know that if you know the Scripture. Now, you know that. If you believe the scripture, then you know that because the Bible's already established that. So we don't have to go over that again. I've spent much time on that. God says the husband is the head of the wife. Amen. So we know that. But there has to be some setting of some standards in the home. I call them convictions. There's some things that you have to decide and set in your home that you're either going to do or you're not going to do. Now, we discussed that before too, but that needs to take place. You need to decide about some things. This is the way our home is going to be run. These are things we're going to do. These are things we're not going to do. Now, I know you can't lay that out all together on every little thing, but you need to have some basic standards and convictions in your life, in your home. This is what we are going to do, and this is what we are not going to do in our home. You need to do that, and then you need to communicate those to your family. Your whole family needs to know that. I told you a long time ago, just use it as one example. After I got saved, I had heard people talk about, and I heard parents and children even say something about, are you going to church? Well, that was a determination that we made in our home. We was going to set a standard. No one in our home was ever going to ask, are we going to church? That was not allowed. You going to church? Sure, we're going to church. That's not even a question that can be brought up. See, now what I'm saying is, and that's not certainly all that needs to be done, but I'm saying set some standards like that where your children, your family knows this is just the way it is in our home. That's just what we're going to do. That's just the way it is. No questions asked. So our children were not allowed to ask, are we going to church? That was just taken for granted. So there's a lot of things, though, that you can think about in your own mind. You need to take some standards and take some stands and just simply say, this is the way it's going to be in our house. And you need to communicate that to your family so they'll know exactly what to expect and also then stand by those. Don't give up on them. In other words, don't quit on them. No, stand by them. Amen? Now, not only that, in verse number 2, and actually we can go ahead and read a few more verses. Well, I'm going to wait before they do that. But in verse number 2 again, he says at the end of it, oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. First of all, he's saying that I'm going to walk in purity. I am going to walk in purity, first of all, in my heart. Now listen to your preacher. That's where it's going to begin. You're not going to walk with a perfect heart and purity unless it begins here first, in your heart. Because the Bible tells us, keep thy heart with diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart with, I left out the word, all diligence. Because that's where the issues of life come from. You must make a determination, as David did, that your heart was going to be perfect before God. Now, you and I know perfection, there is maturity in all of this. It doesn't mean that David was going to be sin-free. David was never going to make a mistake. We understand that in the Scriptures. But David had determined that his heart was going to be right with God. And that he was going to keep it right with God. Because if you will let your heart be right, everything else, the decisions of life will come into effect. It's important today, if I could get this point over, it's very, very important today that you remember that serving God and loving God, walking with God, keeping your heart right with God, is saying to God, I will let you in on every little bit of my life. I will let you be a part of every decision I make. Whether that's a little decision, a big decision, or whatever it may be, God, I want your presence in it. I asked the Lord today about something, whether he want me to do this or not, and he has not given me the okay to do this, and so I'm not going to do it unless he does give me the okay. I mean, that doesn't mean anything to you. But to me it does. Because I want him in on every little decision that I make. You keep your heart perfect before God. Ask him about those things, folks. God is interested in the little areas of your life. And I've even told you before, God is interested when you go into a store, what you buy. He does care. He wants to give you okay on your purchases. And will. You say, well, I'm afraid God wouldn't let me have this or that. You'll be surprised what God will do for you if you just trust Him. You know, He knows us as individuals. He knows the needs of our life and sometimes the wants of our life, and sometimes He lets us have the wants of our life. He's not against that. He's just simply saying, let me in on it and let me be the one that decides. I think it was in our Sunday school class this morning, we was talking about the A.W. Torrey, and one of his vows was, he made five vows. I'm not going to go through those, but he made five vows, and one of the vows was simply this: I will never own anything. And the thing about it was, you say, well, Brother Ross, you mean did he never own anything? That wasn't what he was talking about. He never had control over anything he had. It was not his, it was God's. If he had a house, it really wasn't his, it was God's. He made that determination that he was not going to own anything. So what I'm saying is, let God in on all of your decisions. Walk with a perfect heart before God. You'll be surprised what that will do to your home. Amen? You see, the Bible teaches us where your treasures are, there is your heart also. There is no doubt about it, folks. Where your heart resides, it's because that's where your treasures is. See, heart follows treasures. Treasures don't follow heart. Wherever your treasures are, that's where your heart is going to be. And mine too. Amen? So think about that sometime. What are your treasures? What does mean so much to you? What means the most to you? Well, that's where your heart is. Now, that's what God says. And that's where your heart is. So it's very important that we keep our heart. Diligently keep our heart. Watch over our heart. David said, I'm going to walk in my house. He said, with a perfect heart. I'm going to walk with a perfect heart. So God is saying that we should let our heart, you see, determine and keep our heart right. Honestly, and this is true as a preacher, it's true for me, and it's also true as I preach to people. I know something. I know a secret. It's probably not a secret. But I know something. If I can get people's hearts right to respond to God with their heart, I don't have to worry about the rest of it. I really don't. Because when the heart is right, these other things will, the heart will be with it. It'll come along. See, I'm just simply saying to you, keep your heart right. Now, another thing what he said was this. He said in verse number 2, he said, oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Notice where he said he was going to do that at. He was going to do that in his house, in his home. Now, again, you know what he's saying? He's saying, I'm not going to be different in my home as I am out here sitting on the throne ruling Israel. I'm not going to be any different in my home than I would be in church. I'm going to be the same folk. I'm going to walk in my house. You know, that's the greatest place you can walk, in your house, and do right and set such a great example in your house. Do right in your home. Now, a lot of people let down in the home. Now, listen, I enjoy going home. I enjoy putting my feet up. I don't sit around here and put my feet up. I don't do that, but I do at home. I'll put my feet up. I enjoy the home. But listen to me. I try to be the very same person in home that I am here. I work at that. I try to do that. I try to make sure that I would not treat my wife with kindness here and smile out here and wink at her, because I do that quite often. You might not know that, but usually about every time before I preach, I look down and wink at her. That helps me. But I do that at home too. Amen. What we're saying is, David said, I'm going to walk out of my house. No, not just in public. Not just out where people can see me. I'm going to be that kind of person If I look like a dedicated Christian here, I want to look specially dedicated in my home. Amen. So that's what David had said here. Now look in verse number... Let me read you a verse concerning that. Matthew, the 12th chapter. Oh, else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. You say, well, Brother Ross, what's that have to do it? Folks, listen to me. If you have a strong man, let's see here. Tom, you're a pretty big character. I wouldn't want to come against you physically. Amen. He's a strong man. I wouldn't go into his house and try to do anything wrong in his house. Tom's a strong man. I'd have to bind him before I could do anything else to hurt anybody else in his house. Do you understand what God is not just talking about someone slipping into your house and you'd have to bind the strong man for? He's talking about spiritually. Do you understand that if we are spiritually strong, there is something that God does for us that protects our family? Do you understand, daddies, that you are an umbrella of protection over your wife and children? There is something special about a man staying strong spiritually that protects his family. So God is saying to us, men, let's walk perfectly in our house. Let's walk with a perfect heart in our house. Where? In our house. Why? So we can be a protection for our whole family. Now listen to what happens. Just listen a moment. What happens is this. When that man decides not to be strong spiritually and lets up spiritually in his household, holes get in that umbrella. And it filters down to his wife and his children. You say, it don't make any difference how I live. Yeah, it does. Amen. Don't make any difference how spiritual I am. Yes, it does. Because if you are not that, you are the umbrella of protection over your family. And when you're not, holes get in that umbrella. Filters down into your family. Troubles come. Heartaches come. You understand what I'm saying? So what he's saying to us, stay spiritually strong, men. Certainly the ladies need to be stay spiritually strong, but God putting the headship in the men, he's saying, you stay spiritually strong. Because that's protection for your family. Someone had to come in and bind you to get to your family. That's what he's saying. Now in verse number 3, he says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. I'm going to spend a little time here on these as we go down through, and I'm going to read the verses on down through verse number 8. But notice, as he said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Notice, as we read these verses of Scripture, he's dealing with those around him. Those who come and that he comes in contact with. And he says, I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A forward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. In other words, a forward heart there is talking about someone who has a heart to do wicked things. If you notice the last part of that verse, it's someone who's doing wickedly. And he said, I won't be a part of that. I won't have them around me. Now listen to what he says. Whosoever privately slander his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. He said, tell you what, those who go about slandering their neighbors, those who go about slandering their brethren, those who go about slandering other people, I don't want to be around them. I don't even want to hear them. I don't want to spend time with them. Amen. Hear what he's saying? Folks, those things rub off. And you better listen to this preacher. We'll talk about friendships here, but he's talking about friendships. He's talking about cleansing the friendships. And he said, I'm not going to be around that kind of person. Let me say something to you, folks. If you're around an individual who slanders other people and talks about other people, and you spend time together talking about other people, you're in trouble. You better get away from that individual who's doing such a thing as that. And if you're a part of it, they ought to get away from you. You see, that don't work. David says, I'm going to cleanse my friendships. I'm going to decide who's around me. I'm not going to be around this type of people. I'm not going to spend time with them. No, I'm not going to do it. Why? They're going to drag me down. And so David says, I'm not going to do that. He said, my eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. We'll talk about that in a little while. And they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Did you hear what he said? David said, I'm going to cleanse my friendships. People who want to work deceit, I'm not going to be around them. People who tell lies, no, I don't want them in my house. Amen. And he says, I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. But he's simply saying in these verses of scriptures, he's talking about what I call friendships, but he's talking about acquaintances. He's talking about people he runs to and he spends time with. He said, I'm not going to be a part of that, and they're not going to be a part of my life. I'm not going to spend time with them. I don't want to waste my time. I don't want that going in here. I got better things to do. Amen. You understand what I'm talking about? God wants us to cleanse those things. Now, there's two areas that I want to talk about as far as the heart is concerned. Two areas that we mentioned earlier. One of those areas is helps to develop the heart, helps to mold the heart. The first one is the ear gate. It is very, very important what you hear. The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to build your faith, you want to do it through the Word of God. That's the way you will build your faith. It's good to hear the Bible, the Word of God. But God is telling us that we need to cleanse this old ear gate. We need to be very, very careful and protective of what goes in this ear gate. Because it's going to determine. Brother Dave knows a lot about computers. We were just talking downstairs a little bit about it. I don't know much about computers, but he does. But I'm sure he would say it all depends on what you put in, what you're going to get out. It's the same thing with the ear. What you're going to put in there is basically what you're going to get out. Now, if you spend your time, listen to me, if you spend your time in letting gossip come into your ears, I'll guarantee you that's what's going to come out. That's what's going to develop in your heart. Because the ear gate helps to develop your heart. So it does matter what you listen to. It matters the kind of language that you listen to. Now, I'm sure you agree with me on this, but I just one of those things, I cannot hardly stand to be around someone who uses my Lord's name in vain. Now, I'm sure you agree with that. Yeah, that just eats you. That happened this week down here at the filling station. I walked in and I was going to pay for my gas, and the man was in there just cursing and using God's name in vain, and I handed Nancy the money real quick and I just left. I got out of there. I don't want to hear it. I can't hardly stand to hear the wonderful Savior who loved me so much and died on the cross for me and done all of that for me so that I could have eternal life, hear His name blessed me. So be careful what you listen to. Be careful those little dirty stories that seem so innocent. Oh, you know, it's not that bad, but it has a dirty taint to it. Don't be afraid to walk away from people like that quickly. They are not doing you any good. I do not want to hear that kind of junk in my ears. I have enough trouble. I don't want to hear that. Amen. So be very careful what goes into your ear. Now, again, we could cover all kinds of areas, but music is one that's very, very important, what you listen to. See, you may not understand what rock and roll is doing to you, but it is doing something to you. See, our young people, they get out sometimes and get out on their own, and they get an opportunity to turn the radio on in their car or whatever it may be, or maybe a cassette of some kind, and they say, well, Mom and Dad don't know, or no one else knows, and I'll just listen to it. But it does something to you. And that which it is doing is not good. It is developing some things in here and in your heart that you're going to have trouble getting rid of. You see, these silly preachers around here that preach against rock music and all these things like that is doing it for a right kind of purpose. We know what it does and what it develops in the heart of our people when they listen to the wrong kind of music. That's why it's so important, why I want you to hear good music at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I want songs that honor and glorify God, not man. And that's what I'm interested in, and I'll fight that battle to the end. I'll go down swinging, because I don't want that kind of music in this church. I want God honored, God honoring music that just praises God and lifts God up in the words and also the melody of the song, the music of the song. There's a difference in that too, the tempo of the song, big difference. You say, well, the words are all right. You better listen and hear this contemporary junk. You better listen, because it does something even in the music. Now, I'm just simply saying to you, be careful what you listen to, because what you put into that ear is what you're going to become. That's going to be coming out somewhere along the line. The ear gate, yes, I could spend a long time on that. But listen also, there's another gate, and it's called the eye gate. The ear gate and the eye gate helps develop what you are as an individual. You see, and God wants us to be very careful. Satan used the eye gate with Eve. Yes, the Bible says that Eve saw that the tree was good for food and pleasant to the eyes. The first thing that Eve done is she saw. It was pleasant to the eyes. She saw it was good. And folks, that's where multitudes of people get in trouble. They begin to look at things and it looks good. Eye gate. Looking at things we ought not to look at and never can get that out of our mind. It dwells there because it's been a wrong signal put into us. That's why we had to protect our eyes. We have to protect what we see. You see, over in Genesis 13th chapter, the Bible says that Lot lifted up his eyes. And he saw the well-watered plains of Jordan. See, his real problem was he looked out there over Jordan, he looked up and he saw all those well-watered plains. He saw them. He ended up in Sodom. But first of all, he saw. Amen? See, over in 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter of 2 Samuel, we find that David was up on a roof. And he looked down and saw Bathsheba. Now, if he hadn't saw her, that would never happen. What I'm saying is eye gate does make a difference. You see, that's why treasures, your heart follows treasures. You say, well, what's that have to do with it? Because your eye has saw things that you want and you desire. I don't know a woman alive. There is a few. Someone's told me they don't like to shop. And they've told me that. That's okay. Most women like to shop. But you have to be very careful with that eye gate. Because if you let it, you'll just want everything you see. You'll want things that you should not ever have. It's not good for you to have or necessary for you to have. But men do the same thing. It's just in a different store. It's in Real King. See, men do the same thing. We look around and we see things. Man, I need that. No, probably not. Probably not. You see, we're all guilty of seeing things and looking at things, and it begins to work in us that we've got to have them. That's what Eve done. That's what David did. He saw. So you've got to watch your eye gate. You've got to be very careful. You see, that's why it's very important, this TV thing. It's very important, folks. If you have a TV, you control that TV. I mean, you control it. If you have one, if you're going to have one, you control it. You make sure that things do not come on there and shut them off. Get it away from you, because there's things that pop up immediately. And there it is, right before your eyes. And you can't get it out. It's there. It's went into the eye gate. See, the best thing to do is just not look at them. Best thing to do is not have them on. It's an eye gate. It's going to hurt you. Magazines. you go through a magazine, you say, well, this is a good magazine, I like some articles in this magazine, but right in the middle, or right in all through the magazine is pictures of naked people. Wickedness. And you look at those as well, because you turned to that page and you went on, but there it is. You've got to be careful about what you see. Young people, listen to me. Be careful what you put up in your room. Now listen to me. Don't get mad at me. Listen to me. Because you're going to look at that every day of your life. And that's what you're going to see. If it's some basketball star that you've got up in your room, listen to me, you're going to see that every day of your life. That's what's going to be on your mind. It'd be better to put some scripture up. It'd be better to put some other things up that would put good thoughts in your mind, because that becomes the heroes of your life. They become your heroes. And it all starts here through the eye gate. Amen. There needs to be some cleansing of our home. There needs to be some cleansing of our rooms, young people. Getting rid of those things that do not bring honor and glory to our Lord, that do not do a proper thing in your eye and through your ears that'll affect your heart. You need to do some cleansing. You need to go home and take some things down off your walls. Parents, I think, probably need to go home and look through their magazine rack. Need to go through their VCRs. If you have a VCR, you need to go through them. You need to do some cleansing and get rid of those things that are wrong. Okay? We'll show you that in just a moment. But friendships, as we go back to that just for a moment, friendships, we need, as he said, to reject evil people. You say, but I like this person. This person is such a... No, not if they bring evil into your life. Not if they're doing wrong. Not if they're a gossip. Not if you spend all your time talking wrongly. They are not a help to you. They are a hindrance to you. And they will tear you down. Let me ask you a question. Who are your friends? Who are your heroes? Who do you spend your time with? You need to check it out and possibly do some cleansing, because they're going to have effect on the rest of your life. See, that's why we talk about rock music a while ago. That's why it's so important. There is not a young person alive who listens to rock music that's sold out for God. It's an impossibility to do both. Impossible. You listen to any kind of rock music, wrong kind of music, don't tell me you're sold out to God. You are not. And you never will be till you get rid of that junk. Never will be. See, it makes a difference, folks, what comes into your eye, what comes into your ears. It makes a difference what comes into your life. You need to do some cleansing. If I was a young person and I had rock tapes or I had rock music anywhere, I'd go home and I'd get rid of it. And I'd vow to my God that I'd never listen to it again, because it's going to make a difference what goes right in here. If I was an adult and I had dirty magazines, or if I had dirty pictures or dirty tapes, wrong, I'd go home and I'd cleanse them. I'd get rid of those. I mean, I would throw them out. Amen? Now I want to show you over in Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter of Deuteronomy. Verse number 25 and verse number 26. The graven images of their gods shall you burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thy house, lest thou be cursed things like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. In those scriptures, of course, he's talking about graven images now, but God is dealing with the things that we bring into our homes. Folks, there is things that we bring into our homes sometime that do not need to be there. They are things that absolutely will not help you to honor God. You may look at them and say, well, they don't really hinder anything, and maybe some things don't. But there's a lot of things that just hinder us really serving God and being what we ought to be for God, just having them in our presence. And certainly any kind of graven images I would certainly get rid of them. I would not have them in the home. Look around your home and decide. Are the things that I have in my home, look at your walls, look at your tables, are those things at least pleasing unto the Lord? I told you earlier, God's not a God that cares if you have some pretty things. It's all right with God if you have some things. I believe that with all of my heart, to enjoy, because He's given us all things to enjoy. But He doesn't want anything into our home that would detract us from loving Him and putting Him first in our life. Look around your home and see what you've got. See what's there. See if there's things that just need to be got rid of, because they're not conducive to loving God and putting Him first. I want to show you another portion of Scripture over in the book of Acts. 19th chapter. Verse 19 and 20. 19th chapter, verse 19-20. And many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God, and the word of God prevailed. These folk here decided there was some things in their homes, and I want to make a statement first of all, and then we'll talk about it. Young people, be very careful how you handle this. You are not the adult in your home. You have adults that are over you. Be very careful. Don't go in a smart-alecky way and say, I'm going to take these things and I'm going to destroy them. Don't care what mom and dad think. Be careful, because mom and dad are still mom and dad. Be careful. These were adults that brought these things. I'll tell you a story. There was a story told about two sisters that lived together. And one of them was kind of a little bit off upstairs. I'm trying to say it kind. A little bit crazy. Just done silly things and didn't know what she was doing most of the time. Anyway, a preacher came to town and he began to preach and preach the Word of God. This one sister, they both had claimed to be saved. But he preached one night on the fact that there are certain things in your houses sometimes that causes problems in your lives. So he preached from this passage of Scripture to go home and hunt those things out that are in your home that should not be in your home and discard them, get rid of them. Well, they went home and they found some little idol things around that they'd got as basically little trinkets to set up, you know, and just little Buddhas and things like that. And they went through their whole home and took all of those things and got rid of them. Within 2 days, this lady was in her right mind. That is a true story. Now, I don't understand all things. All I know is this: don't let anything into your home that would be contrary to the Word of God. Put things in your home that honor and glorify Him. When you look around, my wife just put up her patriotic things. It's the time of year, and she puts up patriotic things and decorates with it. But you know, when I go in and see those patriotic things, I am reminded of the great God who gave us this country. I'm reminded of that. And it gives me opportunity to thank God for who He is and this wonderful country that He has given to us, the wonderful country that I get the privilege to live in. I'm just saying, there's some things, it's all right to decorate. Don't be foolish. It's all right to have your houses look nice. But don't let anything be there that would detract from God. Get rid of them. Go home and cleanse your homes. Now, just a few statements. First of all, salvation is a must. If you're going to have a godly home, if you're going to cleanse your home, you're going to have to get saved. You're going to have to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You can't have a godly home in any other way except, first of all, accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's first. That is a must. What you need to do is this. Moms and dad, if there's some things in your home that you've allowed in your home that should not be there, What you ought to do is go home and set the whole family down and tell the family, I've made some commitments. I'm going to cleanse our home. I'm going to do our best to make our home a place where God can be praised and honored. Explain to your family this commitment. Sometimes other family members don't always understand. But if you're a daddy, you're a mommy, and you get together and you say, you know, we need to cleanse our home. Explain to the children what you're doing. We've allowed these things in our home. They should not have been in our home. We've allowed them in our home. But we're going to now get rid of those things, and we're going to live a different kind of life. We're going to make our home a better place to live for you. Explain it to them, and then pray for God's strength and wisdom as you go through your home and search your home out. Pray for God's strength and wisdom. Right now you're sitting there, you may think, I can't think of a thing that I have in my home that would be distracting from honor and praise unto the Lord. I don't know about that either. But be willing to go home and search. Be willing to just look through your house and see, does it bring honor to God? Does it honor Him, you see? Now decide what is worthless in your home and what you're going to do about it. Decide on the things that you need to remove and remove them. Make a decision on that. Take action and do something. Don't let them just sit there. Amen? Get rid of them. Amen? God will bless that in a real special way. Rededicate your hearts and your homes to Christ. Amen? Just rededicate your hearts and homes to Christ. Say, I want my heart to be just right with my God. There's things in my homes ought not to be there. And I'm going to cleanse them. I'm going to get rid of them. Amen. That'd be a proper thing to do, don't you think? You see, you want God's blessing on your life. You need to cleanse your home. Go home and cleanse it. See, get rid of those things. Get rid of friendships that's not good. You've got some young people. You've got some worldly friends. You ought not be around them. No, you ought not be around them. You need to make some decisions that you're not going to spend time around these old worldly friends. Worldly people who are leading you astray. You make up your mind, I'm not going to do that. Amen? So just make some determinations in your life. Decide about these things and go home and take some action about them. Amen? Good place to start it would be an altar up here. A prayer, getting on with God and say, God, help me as I go home. And search my house out. See what honors you, what doesn't honor you. And I'm willing to get rid of anything that I feel in my heart that you tell me that would not honor Him. I'm willing to get rid of it. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again thanking you for your goodness and your kindness. Help us, Lord, to be a people much like David was when he talked about how he was going to cleanse his friendships, his home, and his heart, and he was going to do things the way God would want him to do them. God, help us to be that kind of people. And Lord, to follow through on things that we know that are not proper in our home. God, help us to do that. And we would pray that you'd lead us and guide us and direct us. Help us to be for you the very best that we can be, that we might honor you in all of our life. Thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.